Thank you, Brother Steve. We're glad to be back here at New Mission again. And always enjoy our visits when we come. And we appreciate everyone here. We have a very, very soft place in our heart for folks here in the church in this area. And we appreciate you very much. And I want to say we do not come for an offering. We do not come for that, but we do appreciate all that you've done for us over the past few years, and we just want you to know that we do. We really do appreciate everyone. Thank the Lord. But didn't you appreciate that good spirit that moved in here tonight? And that little touch of heaven coming down close. We think sometimes that we can imagine somewhat about what it'll be like over there, but Brother Rich, I really don't think we can. I really don't think we can, but I'm glad to be saved tonight. Brother Steve has done been talking to us about that, and others have, and I'm glad for that. But I've just got a feeling, if I can just get over there, there will be a feeling of gladness I've never felt before, I'm sure, to know that this is behind us, and we've made it. We've made it. We used to sing a song, something about, thank God I've made it. My feet have touched the streets of gold, and I know that's going to be a great time. And I hope that this whole bunch right here, with Karen and me included, can meet up over there on streets of gold one day. Wouldn't that be wonderful? There's no reason we can't. There's no reason we can't do it, because the Lord has got grace, and His grace is sufficient. I want to say I really enjoyed the service this morning, too. I enjoyed Brother Bruce's teaching very much. And he told us wonderful things, good things, solid things. And I thought Brother Steve just did outstanding preaching this morning also. And I thought the song about that grace will always be greater than sin, something like that, I think. I thought it was just wonderful too. It just touched me, and I appreciated that very much. And we're glad to be with you. We wanted to come see the children a little while when we had a little time, and we appreciate getting to see them, and glad to see everyone along with that. But we do appreciate everyone here. We will need your prayers. I'm very thankful to see Brother Rich up and around and doing as well as he is again. Our heart's been saddened a few weeks or months, whenever it was ago, that we heard that he is having some pretty serious problems, and children talking to us about how sad it was to see him coming in the condition he was in. But thank God, when the Lord's in it, it's not over yet, is it? Thank the Lord. Thank God. Well, you pray for us tonight. We sure need the Lord's help. I want to read in the 13th chapter of Genesis. And it's a story that all of our children know, I'm sure. All of us, I'm sure, heard many things preached from this many times. But felt like going here tonight. And you remember it's a story about, the Bible calls him Abram here. But that's hard for me to remember to say, so I usually just say Abraham. You know, but anyhow, his name was changed by the Lord later on. Abraham and Lot, his nephew, and they had come to a place where they had both prospered until it seemed like that they couldn't continue to travel together. And they needed to make a separation here, a peaceful separation. Abraham came to Lot and said, let there be no strife. He said, I pray thee between me and thee, and between my herdmen and thy herdmen, for we are brethren. I wish more people could remember that thought and have that feeling about things as we go along. But he said, I want to start reading maybe in verse 9. I've done read the 8th verse. But verse 9 said, is not the whole land before thee? Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. If thou wilt take the left hand, then I will go to the right. Or if thou depart to the right hand, then I will go to the left. And Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest unto Zoar. Then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan. Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves the one from the other. Abram dwelt in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelt in the cities of the plain and pitched his tent toward Sodom. But the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. And the Lord said unto Abram, after that Lot was separated from him, lift up now thine eyes and look from the place where thou art northward and southward and eastward and westward. For all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever. And I will make thy seed as the dust of the earth, so that if a man can number the dust of the earth, then thy seed shall also be numbered. Arise, walk through the land, in the length of it, and in the breadth of it, for I will give it unto thee. We know how blessed that Abram was, Abraham, and a great blessing from God fell upon him. I don't know just what it was God saw when he chose him to come from the land of his nativity and begin this journey through the land of Canaan and to receive the promises and the blessings of God that he received, but I'd like for him to see something like that in me, wouldn't you? I'd like for him to choose me also. But I want to talk a little bit here about Lot and the choice that he made. This is somewhat of a classic example of the choices that people make. And I'd like to remind us that even in Peter's writing, he spoke of Lot as that righteous man. His righteous soul was vexed. And so Lot was a righteous man. But he made a choice that was not a good one. When he had the opportunity to go any direction, any place that he wanted to go, he made a choice that was influenced by the flesh and not by the Spirit. He was a man of great substance. Cattle, flocks, herds, whatever, all that he had. And as such, it would be natural for him to look on a well-watered plain, knowing that this would be very good for what he had, his substance. And so he looked down toward Jordan. And I don't know but what that was all he was seeing when he looked down that direction. But he saw that that was a well-watered plain. And he said, I'll choose this direction, Uncle Abraham. I'm going to go that way. But the Bible tells us then that he pitched his tent towards Sodom. And again, I'm not sure if he knew what Sodom really was when he went down there. But he pitched his tent towards Sodom. And so I want to skip over now a little bit further and read some in the 19th chapter of Genesis. And in my Bible, just using the dates that they have in the margins, we're looking at about something like 20 years on down the road. And I don't know what Abraham did in that 20-year span. But he was back close again to probably the place where they parted from the beginning. I don't know that. That's my guess. And I can tell you a little more about that in a little bit. But Abraham received a visit from heaven. And there was three men that came to Abraham. And it seems that one was the Lord and two angels with him. They stopped and they stayed with Abraham a little while. But before they left, told Abraham their business. There had been a great cry come up from the land where Lot had sojourned. And this cry had reached unto heaven. So the Lord came down to see if it was like that he had heard from heaven. I can't explain all of that. It's just the wording of the Lord here in the Bible. But he came down, and when they departed from Abraham that day, the Lord didn't go on down to Sodom, but the two angels did. They entered into that place. They found Lot. Lot found them. They had to come together, for I know the Lord sent them to come to Lot. But they came together, not in the tent, out in the plain of Jordan. He had become a city dweller now. He had left his sojourning in the land. He was no longer a pilgrim and a stranger, but he had moved into the city and built him a house or purchased one. And he was very much involved in the workings of that city. And so these angels came and told him their mission. There was events that took place when they first came. I'll not go there right now, but they told him about their mission. Lot, we have been sent here by God to destroy this place. And he said, the angel told him, said, if you have any here, sons-in-laws, daughter-in-laws, said, go and tell them, flee out of this city, for we're going to destroy it. Well, Lot had been there long enough that children grew up. Don't know how many he had that was married, but the word is plural. Daughters, didn't speak about sons, but it's sons-in-law. And he went to them and told them the message from God. I wonder how many messages God has sent to people in critical places, in times when they really needed to hear. And these were like so many through history, they didn't hear. To them, Lot was just as one that mocked. That's all they could see out of this, and he didn't get anywhere with them. But I want to tell us tonight that it's a serious matter when we choose to pitch our tent towards Sodom. When we look on the well-watered plains of Jordan, and we from our head and not from our spirit make a choice in life, we do not realize what a cost is coming with that choice. Glory. So he came back home, and he was with the angels again there in his home, and they began to pressure him. It's time to leave, Lot. It's time to go. God's going to send his destruction. Or maybe they said, we're going to destroy this place. And so he wanted them to leave. And I want to read what the Bible said here
in verse 15 of the 19th chapter. And when the morning arose, then the angels hastened Lot, saying, Arise, take thy wife and thy two daughters which are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of the city. Lot understood this was from God. He recognized those men as being from God when he saw them. Said, turn in here to my house. Let me take care of you. He understood that from the beginning. Oh. But the Bible said in verse 16, and while he lingered, my Lord, I feel like talking to us a little bit. I hope the Lord can help me here tonight. I've heard some things over the years and some just recently that makes my heart just grow cold within me. The thinking of people nowadays, the teaching among our people, I'm speaking of the holiness people. They're my people. I love my people all over this country. Glory. I hear some saying, hold this world lightly, with an open hand, ready to turn loose at any moment, at any time. Did you ever read in the Bible where we're supposed to hold the world lightly? No. I want to tell us tonight, you how I'm going to have a hard time doing that. I was preaching a revival back the early part of the year in another state, and I preached one night, I guess the only time I've ever preached from that thought, where Paul talked about wrestling not with flesh and blood, but with all the other spiritual things. And I preached about wrestling. Us old Arkies and Okies would probably call it wrestling. And I talked to them about that and the struggle there is between the flesh and the spirit all the way through life. And when I finished that night, the Lord really helped us, and we seemed like had a good altar service, people praying. But a young man in his 40s still came up to me after service. This young man has done extremely well financially. Been involved with things that I would not touch. He came up to me and he said, I understand it now. He said, I've got to learn how to balance this thing. I'm not nearly as bold as people think I am. I wanted to tell him, but I hesitated because I was afraid that he'd understood a little bit, but he couldn't swallow much more. But what I felt was, son, this ain't a balancing act. This is a choosing act. We don't balance the world and the spirit together somehow. It'll never work. Jesus said you cannot serve two masters. It's impossible for us to do it. You're going to have to make a choice one way or another.
Yes, you will.
Whew. But aren't you glad that God is a merciful God? Here was Lot that had made a terrible choice. He didn't realize it was going to cost him his entire family. Woo! And when the time came, Brother Moore, for him to turn it loose, Lot lingered. He lingered. Destruction is a coming. I believe he believed it. But he couldn't just turn it loose. I want to tell you, when your family's involved, you can't just turn it loose. Ooh. The word linger in the Hebrew means to question or hesitate. To ask what? To ask how? Why? When? To what end? To what purpose? These things were going on in Lot's mind. He knew it's time we've got to go. But he wasn't ready to go. He probably thought all those years, I can. But you see, he stopped becoming a sojourner in the land. Pilgrims and strangers. We like to sing about that and testify about that, but to live it, how deep is your anchor in the world already? How much have you got a hold of already? And when can you turn it loose? Woo! And while he lingered, the men laid hold on his hand and upon the hand of his wife and upon the hand of his two daughters, the Lord being merciful unto him. It does not say being merciful unto us. It was unto him. And they brought him forth and set him without the city and told him to escape and don't look back. Lot looked like was going to salvage himself and his wife and his two unmarried daughters. But before it was over, he lost it all. His wife looked back and turned into a pillar of salt. And his two daughters had that spirit of Sodom in them until incest meant nothing. What did you get out of there with, Lot? My own soul, that's all. I got out of there with my own soul. While I was there, my righteous soul was vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked every day. That word conversation, about everywhere I've seen, means behavior. I wonder how far away from the behavior of Sodom we are today. I didn't see the two couples yesterday. Morris and I were bastrop. And I was over in the boat section, and they went to the pistols. And didn't y'all tell me there was two sets of girls? Huh? Two or three sets? Up there looking at the handguns that were obviously of that Sodom atmosphere. And it's all over and all over. And we're wanting to get a hold of more of this world. And we're wanting to take more of it to our blessing. And we think we can turn it loose and walk away, but we cannot. Oh, help me, Lord. Help me, Lord. Glory. Let's move on to Revelation. Let's go over here for a little while. You know the story well. But there was a letter written. The Lord sent a letter to John while he's on the Isle of Patmos. And seven of those letters, each one was for that present day or the near future in that day. But with prophecy, you can't always pin it down to just one place where it really is effective. So Laodicea, I'm afraid, has overleaped nearly 2,000 years. And we've finally gotten there like they were then in that city of Laodicea. We have among our holiness people today far too much of a lukewarm spirit. Far too much all over the country. And people are feeling like just exactly what verse 17 of the third chapter says. Because thou sayest, this is what Jesus said, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. And knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. I hope the Lord can help me a little while. Look around us, church. Who is satisfied with what they have? Who has done well financially and finally reached the place and said, I've got enough? How many do you know like that? There is no stopping place. And there is no satisfaction of the heart. When we start taking hold of the things of this world, I want to tell you tonight that in the last 20 years, America has become the well-watered plain of Jordan. I hear young men telling me all over the country, Brother Bill, it's there on the tape. Whole Lot had to flee. God rained fire and brimstone down. And it destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah and all the cities of the plain. And somewhere on a hillside, I'm sure, maybe a mountaintop, wherever Brother Abraham was, he looked out early in the morning. He knew what God was going to do. And he looked, and what he saw was a smoke of going up from the destruction. Oh, but where were you, Abraham? I was not there. I saw it with my eyes, but I didn't feel none of that destruction except to feel the longing for my family down there. Whoo! I want to back up and read a scripture right quick back over in Psalms. You know it well. The 91st Psalm, perhaps it was Moses writing, whoever it was, said, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. It's not a place we drift in and out of, but it's a place we dwell. It's a place where we abide, and that's where Abraham was. Woo! He went on and said, I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge, my fortress, my God. In him will I trust. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. Where were you, Abraham? I was a dwelling in the secret place of the Most High. And I looked early that morning, and I saw the smoke of their torment coming up from that great destruction down there. But he said, I only saw it with my eyes. Brother, that's what I'm looking for. I'm looking for that place where I can see it only with my eyes and not feel what poor old Lot felt. Oh, I wonder how he felt when he realized he had to go on without Mrs. Lot. Where are you going? I've left a home in abundance, plenty where I was. It's all gone up in smoke now. God's destroyed it. Where are you going, Lord? I'm a fleeing for my life. I have no real destination. I'm a just trying to get out of here. Oh, Abraham, where were you? Looking out across the hillside. I'm a seeing it, but that's all. It ain't a feeling. I ain't a feeling it here. Sarah's in the tent. All of my substance is here. We've been a wandering around as the Lord led us. My Lord. People don't realize what the true riches of life are. There are some true, true riches that we can have. I want to go back to Revelation again, third chapter. Jesus knows what's in every heart here tonight. He knows. I can't see in there, Brother Moore, but he knows. Nobody had to tell him what was in man. He knew. My very thoughts and intents are just opened up to him. And yours are too. Whew. He looked on this church at Laodicea. And he said, you're saying one thing, but what I'm seeing down inside of you is something far different. Do you understand that there are no boundaries and limits
when men begin to look toward the world, there's always something to beckon and call you a little bit further out yonder. And I've never known a wealthy person yet that was happy. Have you? We don't talk much about Hollywood anymore. We don't have to. We can talk about the same things in holy churches. Ooh. Ooh. Glory. We used to talk about Hollywood. How that people was wanting to go out there and become a star. Get a name. Recognition all over the country and the world. Make mega dollars. They probably didn't even know the word mega then. We've invented that in the last few years, haven't we? Oh, it's been around a while, but we didn't use it. We didn't have no need to. Well, no need for talking about mega things. But now then, we do. We talk about things like that. But they got out there and they married. And that marriage didn't suit them. There's somebody else come along and they left this and went to that one. And they tried alcohol and they tried drugs and everything that you can think of. And some kind of religious. They all get religion somewhere along the line, you know. And it may be some Maharishi somewhere on a mountaintop over yonder or whatever it might be, you know. But they, and you see them always going, going, going. I heard not long ago, Possum Jones finally died. Who knows who Possum is? George Jones. How old was he? 80s? Still singing in the casinos and wherever he could find a place? Possum, didn't you ever get enough? How many women did you go through? An alcoholic. My, my. And we used to talk about them. And now I look at homeless folks. And we just can't find enough to spend the money. There's always another gadget. There's always another car. There's a bigger home. There's a bigger place. I'm not trying to step on the flat stone. I'm just trying to prove that's all I am. And there's never any end to it.
No way, no.
And now, I'm holding
the spirit of this world.
There are illicit relationships popping up. In the same church. In the same congregation. And I'm wondering, Brother Moore, if they get that in their head, why can't they go out in the world somewhere?
Yeah.
Instead of right in the house of God? And I know two or three different churches, three at least right now, that they're still going to the same house of God. God can forgive. But men don't forget.
No.
My Lord. And we think that we have found the true riches. No. Some of these people, probably most of them that I know of, have testified. Shouted, sang, one teenage adult girl, you know, she says, she's come up with that, I'm sorry, and she says, I don't know who the problem is. Raised. Another boy in the church is a father. Both of these young people, their fathers are preachers.
And you've been looking toward the well-watered plains of Jordan. Have you pitched your tent toward this world? Brother Ronnie Webb, I guess he's still brother. I don't know. He's been out and in. And I don't know if he's still in there or not. But he's been a preacher. And probably 20 years ago I heard him preach. And I thought, what a great illustration he made. I don't know if I've told you about it here or not. I may have. But he said, holiness people are trying to stay so far, and he used his hands like this, from the world. But he said, if the world is going down, and we're staying so far, then we're going down too. I ain't got any interest in that. I'm a-looking for higher heights. I'm a-looking for that place, that the path that the vulture's eye has never seen. I'm a-looking at that place where only the redeemed has walked. And it's a leading up and not a going down.
Oh, yes.
But it seems like I've been around holiness all my life. I took about a 15-year spell out in the world in sin and marked me and scarred me that I'll never get over it all. But I come back. Thank God for bringing me back. 65 years old. I was raised on the holiness pallet. I've been around this a long time. And I've seen some things. And we're following closer to the world now than we ever have in my day. We're not getting further apart as we should be. But we're following closer. We're not examining things anymore like we used to. The Bible told us to try these things. To pray about them. To search them out. To see what it is before you go.
Yes.
But we don't do much of that anymore. We look at one another and say, if they're doing it, it must be all right. And we're getting closer and closer to the world. And the world is going down. And the church world, for the very most part, is going down with it. But Jesus said, I see what's in your heart. And he said, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich. Woo! And white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. What did you tell us, Jesus? I'm telling you where riches are. I'm telling you where a place around the marriage supper will be. I'm telling you how you can see what's coming on the face of this world. He's a-selling me something. He's a-selling me gold. Try it in a bar. Then I can be rich.
You young folks says that ain't much to build a home on, is it? Trials, troubles. Yes, it is. You'll never build a more solid foundation in your home if these things can be privileged to come your way and you can hold on to the hand of God as you come through. Oh, Lot thought he was finding the great riches in life, but he lost everything. Abraham, what did you do? I just pulled out my tent stakes and I began to walk, and after a while we put up the tent again for a while, and then we pulled it up and we went again. And here I am. Well, now in while the destruction of falling on Sodom and Gomorrah, Abraham's up on the mountain alone. What did I see? You see that destruction.
Yeah. Well, honey, here's a blessing.
White raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. Somebody asked old Brother Wayne Dillard one time years ago, I understand, said, Brother Dillard, what would you be if you wasn't holiness? He said, I'd be ashamed. You know what he was saying? I didn't catch that for years. I didn't really understand that. But when you're ashamed, you're covered with sin. If I wasn't holiness, I'd be a sinner. That's what he was saying.
Yeah.
And the shame of his nakedness would show to God that he was ashamed. But there is a witness that God's a looking to. A robe of righteousness that cannot be bought with money.
Yes.
It cannot be bought with works.
Cannot.
Except in the obedience of God.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
Abraham believed God.
Yes, he did.
He believed him enough to do what God said without question. He just did it. And it was imputed unto him for righteousness. I want to tell you, God still got the robes of righteousness tonight, and they're more valuable than anything you could buy from Paris. Whoa! Because one of these days, when that marriage suffers a blight, it's going to require a little bit. I know what it is to have made a contract to build. It wasn't a bridge. I used to build bridges. But this time it was a great cattle guard and a culvert. And I've never seen one that big before, never had built one, and they contracted me to do it. I was working alone, and I didn't know how to figure anything like that. We built lots of bridges, and I could figure them, but I didn't know how to figure this. It's something different. And hadn't been saved too long, just very young in the Lord. And I probably got about halfway through, Brother Bruce. And my money that I'd figured on was gone. It's run out. And I still had to finish that thing up. But I remember the day by myself out there, and I got off of that backhoe, jumped down in that old big hole with a pick and shovel, and I'm going to straighten them edges up a little while. And there's something come over me from heaven. I didn't have a runaway, but I had one inside. Just out there by myself. My money's done wrong with that, but I feel rich.
Praise God.
And anoint thine eyes with eyesight that thou mayest see. Can we see what this world is becoming? Can we see where our holiness people are heading? Can we see how far they've already gone? You're going to have the eye of the Spirit to see. But you can see. And how valuable is that? You won't stumble in the darkness. You'll not fall on your way to heaven. But there'll be a plain path. And it'll shine more and more unto the perfect day. If y'all want to know what I think, Bill Wakely is more persuaded of the holiness way of life and the salvation of God than I've ever been before in my life. I believe that it is shining more and more right now. It's plainer and plainer, clearer and clearer. I can see it more and more as I'm going on from here. But there's been several things, Brother Moore, that God helped me to see. I didn't stumble off in like others did. How about you?
Thank you, Lord.
I'd like your song of invitation, if we could, tonight. And give us an invitation. I really appreciate your attention and your help to try to preach to you a little while tonight. But I need to tell us that destruction is coming. This world is going to be destroyed. The things that brought Sodom to the place of destruction, every one of those things have been fulfilled in America. Every one. Pride, fullness of bread, the abundance of idleness was in her. Neither did she strengthen the hand of the poor and the needy. But she became haughty and committed abominations before me, God said. And I took her away as I saw good. We've done gone down that list in America. Destruction's coming. Will it catch you in the same place as it caught Lot? Will you have a hold of something in this world that you think you're holding lightly? You can't hold it lightly. If it draws you enough to take a hold of it, you're going to be a hold of it. You can't hold it lightly. It's going to get the better part of you. You might say, God, send those two angels. Take me by the hand while I'm lingering and lead me out of the destruction. That happened once. It won't happen again. How do you know that? I've done closed my Bible, but I'll quote if I can. Jesus, when he finished talking to the church at Laodicea and told them what condition they was really in and what they really needed, the true riches of God, he said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man shall hear my voice and open unto me, I will come in unto him and sup with him and he with me. We've used it, I have, in reaching for lost souls. God's a knocking. But that wasn't sent to the lost. That was sent to the church. That was for the church. You know what the Lord's doing today? He's not sending an angel to take us by the hand and lead us out. But he's sending some old preacher like me by. Brother Rich, Brother Steve, so good today. And he's sending us an invitation and saying, I'm standing at your heart's door knocking. I'll not force my way in. You'll have to make your choice. But I want you to know that if you'll hear my voice and open to me, I'll come in
and I'll sup with you, and you can sup with me. Don't you love that communion of the Spirit? We was in a service, and I think it was 2 weekends ago, that I have not felt that Spirit in years, Brother Rich. That Spirit just fell in. There wasn't no preaching. There wasn't no need for that. Everybody went around the altars on their knees, tears just flowing, flowing. And you couldn't stop you didn't want to stop the tears. You was a feeling of nearness of the Lord you hadn't felt in maybe years like that. Oh, that communion. There's nothing like that. And Jesus is saying, Brother Rich, you almost made me say this morning when you were talking to me, I want to go with you. You almost brought that out. I'm sorry to hold you like I am, but I still feel this on me here tonight. Woo! Can you turn it loose? That's a keeping you from that victory. I'm sitting. The Lord told me one night on the way to
revival in their bulletin. We're working every day to try to 2.5 hours one way, preaching every night. I can't do that anymore. But the Lord spoke to me one day. He said, my people are moving to the left and to the right. And it smoked me all around. And I said, God, all that. He said, and I said, well, either going toward worldliness,
yes,
going to the Pharisees, or one way or another, I've seen it every day, every church. Since I go to your living now, and I'll let them do it. But I can tell you, thank God, we're going to preach the last one. And I see it.
What are we going to do when we long to hear that knock on our heart's door one more time? And the knock has ceased. And you don't hear that knock. And when the preachers preach, you don't feel that. And it's just something like those sons-in-law of Lot's and his daughters, just as one that mocks. And you can't feel it. We're almost there, church. If you're not in, I want to tell you one more thing. Please forgive me. Probably 6-7 years ago, 7 anyway, I was preaching a revival in Seymour, Missouri. And I went out to pray one morning in the church, as I always did. And there was a great burden fell on me that morning, and God spoke to me about a scripture about the 10 virgins. And I didn't understand just what He was telling me, but I felt such a burden. I couldn't keep the tears from falling. When you're like that, you don't try. You just let the Spirit work. I never preached from that passage in that revival. Now, I don't go back from times when I'm praying and talk to my wife about what God's told me, unless it's something that involves us. She never knows what I'm going to preach until I get up here. She don't know those things. But I went home that morning and I talked to her about it. I said, God's telling me something. And I'm not sure just what it is. It lingered on for couple of years, I guess, before I realized what God was doing. The scripture was a cry of that. And of course, 10 virgins. I was able to love me. And I was a cry. But it's true. They had no oil in it. They were dying. They brought the food. We want to open it. Oh, yes. What I finally saw, I've heard all this people. There'll be a place somewhere we realize what we come to do. At least now, something is going to tell us there's going to be a red flag somehow or another. And I'm going to drop it all in. But notice, there was a cry in the morning. They went straight from slumber to sleep. If we can't hear what the Spirit is saying to us, there will not be a wake-up call.
you're slumbering and sleeping spiritually now, and you can't stir yourself to get awake now,
right.
You'll still be a slumbering and sleeping without what you need. When the cry comes,
I believe
it. At that midnight, please forgive me about one more thing. I'm not taking it all. Oh, no, I'm not. But I've been attending some churches lately, Brother Steve.
There are three necessary things, characteristics of the child of God, that are absolutely essential for us to finish this race up from here to heaven, from where we are. One is a seeing eye. The other is a hearing ear and a heart to understand. When Jesus came, He said, how right was Isaiah, having eyes to see and see it not. Ears to hear and hear not. And neither do their hearts understand. Don't tell us. It's straightforward, but you can't make it from here on without those three things. You can't do it. We have never seen a time of deception like we've seen right now. And it ain't going to get any better. It's going to get so bad that if it were possible, even the very elect will be deceived. We cannot go from here, the 25th day of August, 2013, unto the marriage supper of the Lamb, without those three things. If you don't have them, and many of our people do not, we wouldn't be in the conditions of things that we're in now if we had those things. Many people do not. I'd be a praying, God, give me an eye to see. Anoint my eyes with eyesight. Give me an ear to hear what the Spirit is a saying to the churches, and give me that understanding in my heart. They handled the very Son of God, did they not? And still did not know He was the Messiah. They could not understand. Would you stand with us? I'm going to try to hush. But I appreciate your attention. I appreciate it very much. I don't know where the message should be going tonight. But before we left home, I felt this message on my heart. And I'll just be honest, Brother Steve, I felt it right here. This is where I felt like bringing it. Right here. Have you got what you need? Have you really got what you need? Do we understand that it's not a sign of our deep spirituality to shout? I wish we could say it is, but no. Oh, I love to see the saints rejoice, don't you? But that's not a sign. God brought the Israelites through the 40, I thought I was finished in 40 years in the wilderness. He fed them every day with manna. He kept them clothed. They all received that same blessing. But with many of them, He was not well pleased. And many of them died in the wilderness. And they didn't make it in. Oh, shout when you feel that shout. But don't say because you shouted, everything's all right.
I hope I ain't tearing nothing down. I'm not a one to tear anything down. I'd like to build something up.
Let me tell you what I'd like to build up. Old-fashioned prayer. I'd like to build that up.
until we could pray plumb through. Oh, I'd like to build that up among our people all over the country. I'm going to hush. If you feel like coming, why don't you come around these altars here tonight? Let's seek for something higher. For the true riches of God. Look beyond this world. These riches will never be enough. They'll perish with the using.